Do you have a tricky work problem that you need to solve? I have a great podcast recommendation for you featuring a pair of expert women. Whether you're just starting your career or a seasoned professional, check out Fixable, a podcast from TED. Hosted by Harvard professor Frances Fry and her wife, leadership coach Ann Morris, the brilliant duo provide honest, actionable advice to help you navigate everything from a gaslighting manager to returning to work after parental leave. They'll leave you feeling empowered and ready to act. Listen to Fixable wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, and welcome to the Bossed Up Podcast, episode 325. I'm your host, Emily Aries, the founder and CEO of Bossed Up. And today I am so delighted to revisit one of our most popular episodes ever. This conversation with Justin Nguyen, all about leveraging LinkedIn to land a job, is absolutely key for the modern job search. I hear from lots of job seekers who listen to this podcast that the advice and gems that Justin drops in this conversation are supremely helpful for kind of breaking through the noise, the clutter, and the overwhelm that's inherent to the modern job search. Now, today's podcast episode also pairs nicely with our ultimate job search guide, which you can access for free at bossedup.org/jobsearch, as well as Hired, our three-month, one-of-a-kind job search accelerator program. If you are really ready to prioritize your job search, and you've got a higher bar for your next job, right? You're not looking to just take any job. You're really being thoughtful and strategic, and you want to be able to really align your entire career trajectory with this next career move you make. Check out Hired at bossedup.org/get hired to see if it's right for you. You can always hop on a call with a member of our team to get personalized consultation and really see what offerings that we have might help you just take it to the next level. The average job search takes at least 5 months nowadays, and our Hired Job Search Accelerator can help you make your next best move even faster. I want to introduce you now to Justin Nguyen, who is the founder and CEO of a company called Get Your Grind Up and the host of the College Declassified podcast, which is an iTunes Top 100 podcast that helps college students navigate the college process and provides what he calls career advice that's not boring. It's true. He lives up to the hype. He really does. But I have to say, his career advice is not limited to college students alone. This is a really helpful conversation, and Justin shares some really strategic advice for, frankly, how Gen Z is navigating the job search, which we all should care about and we all should be keeping up with because it's going to change how all of us are navigating the job search. So without further ado, let's jump into my conversation with Justin Nguyen from Get Your Grind Up, and I'd love to hear from you if you put these tactics and strategies to use in your job search. Justin Nguyen, welcome to the Bossed Up Podcast. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how the Get Your Grind Up movement started.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. So the Get Your Grind Up movement, it started off as a joke back in like 2015, I want to say. And it sort of blossomed into this reality, this movement to really empower students. And our first podcast was a Get Your Grind Up one. And the whole basis behind that was we wanted to showcase the non-traditional path to success. So entrepreneurs, esports gamers, people like that. And then as we started to grow that, what we realized was students didn't necessarily want to listen to a 45-minute, 60-minute interview. They were actually dropping off after like the 10th or 15th minute. So what we sat back and looked at it was we were like, okay, how can we impact students the most in a short amount of time? So that's when the podcast, our new one, Declassified College, came about. And it's all about quick, short tips on how to succeed as a student. We like to call them cheat codes. And every episode is 5 to 15 minutes long. And ever since launching that back out in February, it's been amazing to see the growth of that.
I love it. I mean, it's interesting for the context of our listeners, you know, even if you're not a recent graduate, I feel like so many of us can learn from the collegiate experience these days and from the class of 2020, for whom my heart goes out to, right, as someone who graduated in the height of the Great Recession. You know, how do you feel towards the class of 2020 in terms of being a recent grad yourself? Like, what advice do you have for those job seekers who are navigating this pandemic job market?
Yeah, so I graduated in 2018, and this was obviously pre-pandemic. But even that, what people don't realize was the, on average, I believe it's only about 25% of students get a job using their degree when they graduate. So that number was already low. And then now with pandemic numbers, I'm assuming it's going to be a lot lower. But this actually presents a really unique opportunity for a lot of the students that are graduating. And even if you're not in college or about to graduate college, this really opens up an opportunity for you to start something on the side. And I create a lot of content on LinkedIn. So what I found was when I was talking to all these recruiters and hiring managers is, yes, your degree matters, but what really matters is, do you have the skills to pay the bills, essentially? And that's where projects really come into play. And people don't realize that, especially coming from college, because we do a lot of work in school, but we're not necessarily taught how can we leverage those school projects, those group projects, all those things that we do in class. How can we leverage that in our resume or the hiring process to answer all those questions during the job? And when you're able to do that during your spare time, it can open so many doors for you.
Yeah, skills to pay the bills. I love that. And project-based work and thinking of yourself as a consultant, as a contractor, to me has served as a very good sort of bridge job over the years, and finding a way to add value to the very tumultuous marketplace we're in right now as a contractor, right? As someone with project-based skills to share with the world is a really clever way of reframing it from, oh my God, I'm unemployed. Please, please, please give me a full-time job. Give me those benefits. Give me those, you know, that security, to now it's like, prove yourself useful and be helpful to other people and find a way to get some skills out there that are going to help you pay the bills. Do you find that's a hard shift for folks to make in terms of thinking about project-based work?
I think the project-based work it's difficult because we don't know to do it. You know, I feel like especially when you're in college or even in the working world, right, you're sort of told the whole time, you need to find a full-time job. You need to find a full-time job. And I think especially when you're young, it's not necessarily the case, because if your parents have like life insurance or health insurance or anything like that, you can use that up until like you're like 25, I believe it is. So you still have, you don't necessarily need all the benefits that you would necessarily be getting in a full-time role. And I think the mindset shift needs to start becoming a little bit more project-based, especially at the beginning of your career, because it allows you to test more things. I mean, if you're looking at a college degree, you only really specialize in your last 2 years for the most part, and you don't really get to test that many things out. And that's one of the biggest problems that I see with college students is when they graduate and I talk to them, I'm like, hey, what do you want to do in marketing, let's say? And like, oh, I want a job in marketing. But there's so many different facets that they haven't even understood, like while they're in school, of SEO marketing, social media marketing, traditional marketing, all these different sort of things, that you need to go out there and get a project-based thing first to test out and see if this is something that's right for you.
Such an interesting way to approach it. You know, I graduated back in 2009 before Obamacare made it possible to stay on your parents' health insurance until you were 26, I think is the age now. And ironically, my first job out of college, my first full-time job out of college, was helping to pass Obamacare as an organizer. And then a few short years later, when I stepped away from full-time work, which is a very scary feeling to leave behind the stability of benefits, I was able to do so without risking my, you know, personal livelihood because of Obamacare. I got back on my parents' health insurance at 20, I think it was 25, and started Bossed Up when I was 26. And so it's just a reminder of, like, there are certainly benefits to getting a full-time job. But the risk that you point out that so few people talk about is it hampers your ability for exploration and experimentation. And if there's nothing else that I think we must do in our 20s or in our early part of our career, it is experiment, right?
100%. And I had this conversation with a good friend of mine who works for the University Innovation Alliance. So basically their job is to find different ways to innovate the world of education. And he was saying that in the what is ending up happening with college students is that when they graduate, the reason that the millennials and Gen Zs are jumping around so much early on in their career is because they haven't had the time to intern while they're in school, because they're actually like trying to work a full-time job to pay the bills or to pay off their student loans as much as possible before they graduate. Mm-hmm. So they don't get to test while they're in school. So that first few jobs that you're getting outside of college are actually your internships. So I think that's what's actually happening a lot. And that's sort of the mindset that I think a lot of college students need to understand going into their first job is you're probably not going to be in this position for the rest of your life.
Right.
What can you learn from this? And then what can you take from that for the future?
I love it. So it's interesting to hear your take on why they haven't, as students, had the chance to experiment beforehand, because I think that's changed a lot over the years. And it is interesting to think about how there are so many public sector implications that make it easier or more difficult for students nowadays to actually get those real-world experiences. And the private sector is also coming to the, you know, adapting as a result. I think you talked about getting a job offer from a big four accounting firm upon graduation. And a lot of those big Fortune 100 companies have rotation programs for their new hires, for their new recent graduate hires, to really test out the waters in different elements of marketing, different elements of accounting before choosing after a year or two where they'd like to focus in too. Because I think you're right that that need to explore is just so fundamental to starting off in your career. And some of my listeners who are in their 30s, 40s and not recent graduates might be also identifying with that, because, you know, they call it a quarter life and a midlife crisis for a reason. There's plenty of opportunities to explore once again later in life. So, Justin, it's an interesting time to be thinking about innovation and graduation. And one of the biggest, I think, transitions from student to career or college to career is learning how to leverage your network to land job opportunities. I've heard you say that LinkedIn is the most underrated social media site of them all. Tell us why you feel that way.
Yeah, so I think LinkedIn is the ultimate equalizer. So just a little bit more background on myself. Both of my parents are Vietnamese refugees, so they came over right after the Vietnam War. And my mom did go to college and she has a computer science degree, but she's not necessarily a networker, so to say. She got her job based off of her merit and the work that she was able to produce. And back in the day, you had a better chance to do that because the college degree wasn't as saturated. So I went to school and I was like, hey, I'm getting really good grades. I tried to apply to internships. I think I applied to over 50 or so, and I didn't even get a call back. And that was with a near 4.0 GPA and joining all the student clubs and doing everything that you're sort of supposed to do. And what ended up happening is by the time I graduated, I had 5 internships, 3 at Fortune 150 companies. And then I also got the job offer, like you said, from a big four accounting firm. And I got, I think, 4 out of 5 internships from networking. And then that one job offer came from networking as well. And LinkedIn plays such a role in that, because I didn't have a network before getting on LinkedIn, because my parents didn't necessarily provide that for me. Right. I had to go out there and get that. And that's where LinkedIn is perfect, because the only people that are really on that platform are professionals. And it's so easy to reach out to people, especially as a student.
Right. Tell us more about how you do that, because I can't underscore this enough that we cannot expect to inherit a network. Only a very privileged few are in such a position. And even if your parents are quote unquote successful in their careers, that doesn't mean you want to be in the same industry. So even if you do inherit a network, it might not be the right one for you. So taking ownership and responsibility of your own come up in terms of being proactive and leveraging LinkedIn is a really important message that I just want to underscore that you're sharing, Justin. How do you even begin making the most of LinkedIn? Because I know a lot of people who think it's a clunky, challenging, nerve-wracking, spammy website and they don't want to be part of the spam.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has that stereotype. And I think LinkedIn has started to try to overcome that ever since Microsoft bought them, I think in like 2016 or something like that. So what has sort of happened since then is they're starting to try to become more of a social media rather than a glorified job board. They want people to create content on there. And what the key concept that I want people to understand is your LinkedIn profile isn't your resume. It's actually a landing page for you. And when people realize that, it sort of starts to open up the doors, because if you think about it from a recruiter standpoint, right? Usually you will put your LinkedIn like profile link on your resume. So there's usually will see your LinkedIn profile after your resume. So if your whole LinkedIn profile is optimized to be another resume, you're just regurgitating the same information that's already on your resume. And the recruiter's going to be like, what was the point of me clicking on this? But if it's optimized as a landing page with some sort of key facts or things that you couldn't have put on your resume, especially in that about section and the featured section, you can really stand out from the rest, because you're not just telling them your resume and what you are, you're telling them your story and you're selling them on why you deserve that job. And that's the ultimate change that I love to see in the students that I talk to.
Yeah, and it's such a dynamic platform, so much more so than a piece of paper or resume can ever suffice, you know what I mean? So having multimedia content when applicable, or really just having more space and more stylistic choices with which to tell your story, I think is so key. I'm curious to hear what you mean by optimize your landing page. Like, how do you think about optimizing your profile page on LinkedIn, kind of like optimizing a landing page for those who are not entrepreneurs and have no idea what that means?
Yeah, no, of course. So let's go with the visuals first, right? Your background photo and then your profile picture. What most people will do is they'll take their traditional profile picture headshot, if that's them, usually them in a suit and tie, and they'll put that as their profile picture. And that is great if you're trying to get into a very conservative industry, let's say like investment banking or consulting. But if you're going into a more relaxed industry, let's say into tech or into marketing, you have a little bit more room to play where you don't necessarily need a suit and tie. Maybe a button up suffices, or you can really play around with things to really showcase your personal brand. And that's important for your profile picture. For your background photo, most people don't even have this. And I think it really, that having one alone will differentiate yourself. And then having one that shows what you can actually do is very important. So for instance, for mine, because I want mine to optimize for like being an entrepreneur and speaking, what I have is a picture of me speaking and then three words of entrepreneur, podcaster, and speaker. Mm-hmm. So when you land on my profile, you know, those are the three things that I want you to know about me. Now, what does that look like as someone who's looking for a job? Let's say you're going into marketing, that could be like SEO specialist, email marketer, and social media expert, right? For those three words.
Right.
Having those three things, when someone just sees it, they can automatically trigger that in the back of their head of, oh, I'm looking for a social media marketer. Justin is the right person for that.
Right.
So that's why your background photo can be used very strategically there.
I love it. Yeah, a lot of my job search clients in our Hired Job Search Accelerator program have been condensing their story not only down to like a 2-minute blurb or a paragraph objective statement, but taking it a step further into that tagline that you're describing. Like, what are three words you want people to know about you? Because so many job seekers that I work with feel like they're straddling a few different worlds. They're like, well, I could see myself going into PR, or I could see myself really honing in on digital strategy or social media. And I'm like, put them all, you know, PR, digital strategies, social media, boom, there's your tagline. You know, you don't have to be one thing, but you do have to be clear about what things you are about and what you want people to know about you. I think that's a really great example. How about when it comes to reaching out to other people on LinkedIn? Because I kind of think of LinkedIn like fishing a little bit. You know, you could start to like try to go for one fish every now and then and send one message to one person who you think is awesome. But you can also just cast a net and post a post that gets a conversation started and hopefully lures in the kinds of fish that you want to have conversations with or that you want to catch. So I'm curious, like, what's your approach when it comes to posting on LinkedIn or messaging directly on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I love that you brought this up because no one usually talks about this side. Everyone loves to talk about the optimized LinkedIn profile.
Right.
But like, it's like if no one sees it, then it doesn't really matter.
Matter, exactly. You know?
So let's start with the first of like, how can you go out and reach out to people? So if you did graduate or you go to school, like if you graduate from university or you're currently attending a college, use the alumni tool. And what I mean by that is you can search up your university. So for instance, for me, it's the University of Central Florida. And then on the left-hand side, I believe like three or four tabs down, mm-hmm. you'll see a section called alumni. So all you have to do is click on that. And then a little search bar will pop up on like the right-hand side. And you just have to type in what you're looking for. So if you're looking for an SEO marketer or if you're looking for a digital marketer, you put that in there and then it'll populate everyone from your university that has that in their job title.
Whoa, that is awesome. Yes.
So now you have your instant connection of, for me, it's like where we're both knights. So all I will do is go to their profile, click the connect button and make sure to add a personalized invite. So if you're on mobile, you have to click the three buttons and click like add personalized invite. But on like regular desktop, you usually can just click connect. And the reason that you want to do that is for anyone who's active on LinkedIn, they're probably getting anywhere between 10 to 50 plus connection requests every single day. And most of them aren't personalized. So by adding that little touch, you stand out from the rest and increase your chance of getting seen and ultimately getting a connection back. So what can you put in that personalized invite? You just say, when I was a student, I would say, hey, my name is Justin Nguyen. I'm a rising junior at UCF as a finance major. I saw that you are that you're working as a digital marketer at Walt Disney World and you're also a fellow knight. I would love to connect and learn more about how you got your role. So that would just kind of open up the conversation. And when they connect back, that's when you ask one specific question.
Yeah.
So that, because what most people do is like, hey, Emily, like, tell me a little bit about yourself. And it's like, that's such a broad question. And right. You've probably rehearsed that question a million times on all the different podcasts and interviews that you've gone through. So you're not really breaking any barriers there. But let's say you had a finance background and you're now in marketing, right? And I said, hey, Emily, like, I really, really loved that. Or I saw that you, when you're at UCF, you were a finance major. And then when you graduated, you transitioned into marketing. I'm going down the same path. Can you talk to me a little bit about why you made that transition? So a question like that brings you back to a time so you can give me a very specific answer, but it also makes you remember me because I've asked you something that you probably haven't been asked before. And that's what's important because with networking, it's not about who you know, it's about who remembers you. And that's something that people don't really talk about.
Yes, I think that's a really great point. I also want to highlight here that why questions, like why did you choose to make that transition, are always great conversation starters because people are intrinsically called to then reflect on their motivation and communicate what personally spurred that change in their life, as opposed to tell me about yourself, so open-ended and vague. And kind of a command, if you actually break down the syntax of that, that I look at that question in a message and I'm like, nope, I don't have the energy to write this paragraph, you know? So there's something about why questions, like why did you choose to make that change? Or why did you end up here? Or why did you study this? That really gets people talking and is such a great best practice. It's not about who you know, it's about who remembers you. I'm gonna remember that, Justin, I love that.
I mean, that's like the biggest thing that I had to learn in college because everyone always says, Your network is your net worth. You need to know people to get places. And that's what I thought. So whenever I went to networking events, I would be that kid that would just go around trying to shake people's hands. Yeah. And what ended up happening is no one remembered me. So when I reached out to them, they're like, who are you? Like, why are you reaching out to me via email? But when I started to ask like real legitimate questions and be interested about people's stories, they remembered me. And then I had something tangible to follow up on, whether it was a specific piece of advice that they gave me or something like that. It gave me something for them to remember me about. And that was that allowed me to maintain a lot of my relationships coming out of college.
Yeah. Genuine curiosity goes a long way, right? Like, take interest in people and they'll take interest in you. I think that's so key. All right. Well, I have to let you go because I could talk to you forever, Justin. Clearly, you have so much great stuff to share here. But one last open-ended question for you. You know, if anything, looking back on what you've learned in navigating your transition from college life to post-college life, what is one piece of advice that you wish you had been given earlier and you would go back now and give to other students or any job seeker on this kind of a transitional path?
Yeah, so I'll tie this into the content creation side, which we didn't get to touch upon, but it's a perfect transition. I didn't realize the power of content creation because I wasn't in marketing traditionally, like at the beginning of my career. But what I realized was as you start to create content, it's not just to get your name out there. It's sort of to prove that you can do something. And what I mean by that is, on a resume, the biggest thing is people can lie, right? Anyone can say, oh, I increased my email newsletter by 570%, but there's no real way for you to show that you did that. But let's say you wanted a job as an email marketer, right? What you could do is connect with every email marketing specialist that is in your second degree network on LinkedIn. So people that are connected with you somehow. Connect with all of those people and then start to create content about you starting your newsletter and how every single week it's grown by 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, 150 people, and putting that out. And then after, let's say, a month or two, what you're going to do is create an article that showcases that growth and go through all the different tactics that you've gone through to market that and put it out. And then send that article to every single email marketing specialist that you connected with and say, hey, I'm a student at University of Central Florida. I started this email newsletter a couple months ago, and here are sort of the things that I tried. I would love to get your feedback on what has worked for you and maybe some things that I can look into. That's how you start that connection. That's how you build on that relationship. And who knows, by the time that you graduate, maybe one of those people are hiring and they remember you because you actually created an article and they know that you're actively producing email content rather than just getting an A in your marketing theory class.
Right. Oh my God. Yes. And keep in mind, I ran into this when I was a student many, many moons ago now, but you can't learn the cutting edge technology and zeitgeist of what's happening in your industry in college. I remember going to my college advisor and saying, hey, where's the class on digital strategy for email fundraising for politics? And my professor looked at me like laughing. It was like, you can't learn that here. It's too new. You know, we aren't General Assembly. This is the Ivy League. Go, you know, learn about theory here. Learn about practice in the real world. And I just thought, wow, okay, that is such a good point. You have to be, before you can become a master, you are an apprentice. You have to be an apprentice in other real world scenarios, in addition to studying theory in school. And I love that description of writing an article on LinkedIn and then kind of collaborating with other practitioners, other apprentices, if you will, because you can actually include them in your next article and quote them and build on those best practices. And basically, I love content marketing. My entire career I owe to content marketing, to be clear, Justin. This podcast is a form of content marketing, right? Because as you lift, as you climb, as you share what you are learning or what mistakes you have made along the way, other people hopefully will accelerate their progress thanks to what you're sharing. And then they will feel indebted to you and feel like, wow, I gained so much from what Justin said on this podcast today. I'm going to share Justin's website and his podcast and his services with the folks I know who are doing innovative things around the career space in colleges around the country. You know what I mean? Like, there's this genuine connection that comes from helping one another that I think is a very generous form of doing business. So I'm delighted to hear you, be carrying this torch on as well. I think it's so important.
No, I 100% agree. It's just sort of getting started, right? That's always the barrier. And especially when you're young, it can be really scary. But what I would say is there's always someone that's looking for that young perspective, and you have that sort of leverage point. It's actually not a sort of a hindrance. It's actually an advantage to be young. And overcoming that mindset is super important.
So, so key. Go watch Hamilton if you haven't already. I feel like that musical left me feeling like I was running out of time. You know what I mean? I think the hustle you bring to your work is something I see in myself. And you've kind of reminded me of a younger version of myself, which is wonderful because we have lots of, there's like so many problems in this world that need energetic, ambitious people solving them. So good on you, Justin, for all that you've done. Where can my listeners follow up with you and learn more about your podcast and your work?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. If you want to find more about the podcast, you just look up Declassified College on any podcasting platform that you listen to shows on. So feel free to check us out on there. And then if you're looking to learn more about myself or Getcho Grindup, it's just getchogrindup.com. So GETCHOGRINDUP.com.
Yeah. And as someone who named her company off of a hip hop term, I so respect Getcho Grindup as the name of your company. So Bossed Up, you know, meets Getcho Grindup happening right here, right now is so delightful. Justin, keep up the great work, man. I think you're doing incredible things. And thank you for sharing your time and expertise with our listeners today.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure.
For all the details and links to the resources that Justin and I talked about today, head to bossedup.org/episode325. That's bossedup.org/episode325. That's where you'll find lots more job search resources to help accelerate your job search too. And now it's time for this week's Boss Move of the Week. Today, I want to give a major shout out to one of our hardest working hired job search accelerator clients, Chanel. Chanel came to Hired feeling, quite frankly, a bit defeated. She had been stuck in a toxic workplace, undervalued, working a part-time job on the side just to make ends meet in her major metropolitan city where rents are high, and felt like her whole career had been, I don't know, taken off track a little bit. Before she moved to this major metropolitan city, in her home state, she had held director-level positions, much more senior-level, higher responsibility positions. But for the past few years, she felt really stuck and sidelined while trying to make it in the big city. So you can imagine my delight when Chanel graduated from the Hired program, continued to keep in touch with her cohort, and navigated, frankly, a long-term interview process with two different employers, both of whom were really exciting to her, but one of whom really spoke to her soul and the kind of work that she feels like she's meant to do on this planet. And finally, after I think it was like 8 rounds of interviews, even though the other employer she was interviewing with seemed really promising, they just were dragging their feet. And for Chanel, it didn't really matter because she got an incredible offer for a leadership position at a nationwide nonprofit advocacy organization that absolutely feels so aligned with the work she's meant to do in her life. I gave her a shout out in our private Bossed Up Hired Job Search Accelerator Facebook group. And I said, major congrats are in order for another newly hired alum, Chanel. I'm so proud of you. How do you feel? And she wrote, I feel absolutely amazing. Like, so thrilled. The best part is HR has been so supportive throughout this whole process. I mean, when have you ever interviewed in an organization where they literally give you the topics and questions they're going to ask you in advance of the interview? It was such a refreshing process. She then asked me if I could hop on a one-on-one negotiation consultation with her, which I gladly did. And looking back at our emails, first of all, I really told her to go all out. Like, they were clearly such a good match, and their HR team was so delighted to offer her the job, and she knew what the pay range was on the position. They offered her something low to the middle, like the lower middle section of the pay range, and I said, they know you're the best candidate for this job. We're going to counteroffer for the absolute highest amount we can get for this position. And at first, she was a little nervous about doing that, but we practiced and we rehearsed and we did mock interviews or mock negotiations, and we scripted things out. And she went in so confident but calm about it all. And she ended her counteroffer by saying, I just want you to know that I want to advocate for myself the way that I'm going to advocate for your organization too. And the HR person was like, absolutely, let me look into this and loop back with you as soon as I can, hopefully later today. Later that afternoon, just a couple hours later, they got back to her and she got everything she asked for. And when I asked her, you know, out of curiosity, what kind of percentage increase is this from your last salary? She said 69%. She nearly doubled her salary in this one job transition. I am so proud of you, Chanel. I'm so impressed with your resilience, with all the ways in which your hard work and courage throughout this process really paid off. And I hope sharing stories like this and boss moves like this inspires all of us to do the same. I can't tell you how many negotiation wins I've been celebrating lately, because a lot of our job search clients are making it happen after a year of things not being so hot. I feel like there's a lot of movement. So if you're ready to make your job search a priority, let me know if I can be of assistance. Our team here at Bossed Up is standing by, ready to help you make it happen too. All right, I would love to hear from you. What are your biggest takeaways from this conversation with Justin? How have you been navigating LinkedIn to advance your career? The best place to keep the conversations going after each episode, of course, is in the Bossed Up Courage community on Facebook. But you can also hit me up on social media at Emily Aries or at bossedup.org. Until next time, let's keep bossing in pursuit of our purpose. And together, let's lift as we climb. Let's face it, speaking up at work can be really hard to do, especially for women and women of color. When the stakes are high and you've already worked so hard to just be the only woman in the room, and you want to get everything right, you want to have all your facts and figures accurate before making your voice heard, it's just so much easier to stay silent instead. Researcher Deb Chahansky calls this loss of voice phenomenon, and it actually emerges in adolescent women at greater rates than men, and it sticks with us for the rest of our lives. Self-silencing behavior can actually become an unconscious habit unless we consciously engage in practicing our assertive communication skills. And we here at Bossed Up have set out to help women like you do just that. Speak Up, my live assertive communication course, is back open for enrollment, and we're kicking off a new cohort launching this June. Over the course of 8 life-changing weeks, you'll have access to interactive online curriculum and live weekly practice sessions where you, Irene, and I, and a cohort of fellow Speak Up bosses who are owning their voice, overcoming the social messages that have taught us to keep silent, and really learning to strategically and assertively communicate when it matters most, will actually have the practice time to rewire our brains, create new neural pathways, and build better habits when it comes to speaking up with confidence and precision and assertively communicating in the workplace. Learn more and enroll today to secure your spot at bossedup.org/speakup. That's bossedup.org/speakup.